Star Trek 57, M23, take two.
It's the It's Got Star Trek podcast.
Isn't it true that on occasion the Continuum has executed Qs for certain crimes?
On rare occasions, yes.
Didn't their deaths create an interruption in the Continuum?
Their crimes created the interruption, their deaths ended it. I know where you're going with this, Lieutenant.
Do you?
And it's not going to work. Our society, like any other, must control its disruptive elements. An execution may be undesirable, I grant you that. But on some rare occasions, it is necessary and warranted. And the decision to proceed is made only after great deliberation by the entire Continuum. You cannot imagine the chaos that would be created if individuals like Q here could choose between life and death. This is a matter of social order versus anarchy.
I understand. And you find nothing contradictory in a society that outlaws suicide but practices capital punishment?
No.
We will now officially start the podcast.
Oh, right now.
As of right now. Hello. Hello.
Once upon a time called right now.
Hello, and welcome to the It's Got Star Trek podcast.
Hello.
Hello. Hi. This is the
200. Thank you.
Yes. Okay. You're welcome. Premature, perhaps. Maybe thank us at the end of the program.
Exactly.
Because we don't know. We never know how it's going to go. Could be a...
Might not be thankworthy.
Yeah, might not. Yeah, precisely.
Tell.
Yeah, they can't all be winners.
Thankable.
We don't know if this one will be worthy of praise until we have concluded.
It'll be fine.
Our business. I mean, it's going to be
fine. Fat chance.
I see Dan has done well this week in collecting
Mystery
sound clips.
Thank you.
All right.
Thank you.
So, this is the 228th episode of the It's Got Star Trek podcast.
Proceed.
Yes, we are proceeding. We are proceeding with the podcast. What we're going to proceed with? The proceedings.
Voyager.
These are the proceedings of the It's Got Star Trek podcast.
They're not preceding. They're proceeding.
They're the proceedings of the It's Got Star Trek podcast.
They're not conceiting.
And this week we will not be dissuading. We will be discussing Star Trek Voyager's death wish.
You were trying to commit suicide.
Suicide. Everybody kept saying it like that.
It's going
to
be
like they just went to like elocutions.
You were trying to commit suicide.
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 You were trying to commit suicide.
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 You were trying to commit suicide.
Suicide.
Suicide. You were trying to commit suicide.
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 Q suicide.
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 You were trying to commit suicide.
Suicide.
You were trying to commit suicide.
Suicide.
Suicide. You were trying to commit suicide.
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 You were trying to commit suicide. Suicide.
Suicide.
Suicide.
Suicide.
Suicide.
Suicide.
Suicide.
Suicide.
Suicide.
Suicide.
Suicide.
Suicide.
Suicide.
Suicide.
Okay, so suicide.
That's a good one.
Suicide is a very sensitive topic.
Suicide.
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 They all said it like that. Like they said, like, suicide.
Why did they say it like that?
I don't know.
Who says it like that?
You were trying to commit suicide. Suicide. Suicide.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, I know Q says it like that because that's how Q speaks. But why does everybody else say it like that?
This may be the episode that gets
how he was saying.
That finally gets us in trouble.
Q suicide.
Suicide.
Q suicide.
In trouble with
who? Suicide.
I think Dan is employing the strategy of numbing us to both the term and the concept of suicide.
Q suicide.
Check it out if you do it at the same time. It goes
Q suicide.
Q suicide.
Q suicide. Q-suicide.
What exactly are we checking out there? It's just
Q-suicide.
See if you can hear the difference.
Q-suicide.
Do you hear it?
I understand. Is it two different line readings?
You were trying to commit suicide. You were trying to commit suicide. You were trying to commit suicide.
Suicide.
Oh, I was just taking a sip of my drink here. I'm very much.
You were trying to commit suicide.
As swiftly as possible to podcast. Okay. People do complain about, you know, taking too long to get to the topic at hand, but I don't think we can be accused of that because all of these lines that Dan is playing are from this episode, from Death Wish.
Q-suicide.
I'm actually starting to feel bad now about playing suicide so many times. Okay, I realized just now, it's like, oh man, I'm starting to bum myself out.
Isn't it handy how we all get to do things that we can just feel bad about later, but we still get to do them? That's a handy thing.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's not that bad.
Podcast, Star Trek. It's got Star Trek, the podcast.
Okay, let's do it!
Yes, that's it. That's us. Zippity zap! It's a Star Trek attack.
I want to make a correction from last week.
Okay,
it's a joke. This new. It's a joke correction. I said I delivered. I heard that. I happen to be listening.
Oh wait, so this is not a joking. It's not a joking correction.
No,
it's a correction to a joke.
Yeah, oh. Exactly.
All right. So you're rewriting a joke that you told a joke last week.
I did it wrong. So and now next time you listen to it, you can remember the right one when you hear the wrong one.
All right. So that would be for people who plan to go and listen to last week's episode 227, which covered the antepenultimate and penultimate episodes of Star Trek, the animated series, season 2, Albatross, and How Sharper Than a Serpent's Tooth. Is that what you mean?
Far out.
Yeah, it was the one with...
All right.
It was the one
with... So everyone's on the same
page. The Serpent's Tooth. What happened, what it was when... Kukulkan. When it's showing all his captured animals, and remember there was the one with the three googly eyes? Yes. That was all silly?
The elephant one.
Yeah, those three googly-eyed, yes. And I said...
I laughed so hard I died.
I said, it scared me in the way that Large Marge scared me. What I meant to say was, it was funny in the way that Large Marge scared me. That's what I was trying to say.
Okay, you have not cleared it up for me. You've made me more confused. It was funny in the way that Large Marge scared you. So are you equating fear and humor?
Yeah, that's why it's funny, because it's like as funny as I thought that was, in the same way I thought it was terrifying in Pee-wee's Big Adventure.
Okay. All right.
See, I said it was scary in the same way Large Marge was scary, which isn't entirely accurate because it was hilarious. And Large Marge is hilarious in its own way, but it freaked me out. So it's funnier to say those googly eyes...
Those
googly eyes were funny in the same way that Large Marge scared me. Isn't that funny?
Yeah.
So, and you listen to the joke next time.
Maybe that wasn't really a joke.
Well, I can appreciate that you felt it very necessary. Very necessary.
It's a joke correction. Most people correct facts. I correct my misdelivered lines.
Suicide.
All right, well done. Okay, that's just something new we're gonna try tonight. Periodically, we'll see how that works. It's got Star Trek 228. We did that bit.
Are Voyager episodes normally 46 minutes long?
Whatever the length was, it was
a smaller ship.
I know it would have been the normal amount because that doesn't change on network television, but
it goes down over the years
I know as the TV
like TOS was like 51 minutes or something.
That's what I'm saying, but like they generally the episodes from season to season, and I would think a whole series would generally remain the same length. I think
generally.
Yeah, so
I mean they do run for
well, that's
seven
what I'm
seasons.
Saying. Not only do they get shorter and shorter, but like when they do the reruns, they play the commercials like faster so they can fit more of them in.
Yes.
I swear, I don't know. I remember I thought Star Trek was like 42 or 43 minutes.
43. I think it got down to that at some point, but I just couldn't tell you. Mm-hmm. I couldn't tell you. Mm-hmm. All right. So, back to the podcast.
And yet it looks, feels and tastes
okay, all right. The podcast, News 'em Ups, Very briefly, we did want to thank both Grayson and Jack Dorino for signing up for our Patreon.
Heck yeah.
That's awesome and exciting.
Thank you.
We are working on building out the content there. There'll be some more content this week. And if you aren't ready to make that $3 a month plunge, if you want to wait that out a little bit, you can still sign up for free.
Oh, wait, well, I thought there was a third person.
Huh?
Wasn't there a third person who signed up?
No.
Third person?
There's other people who've signed up for free. Maybe there was You can sign up for free.
Then
you can preview content and you can see what's going on. And then so maybe at a certain point, you're like,
Gotcha.
But if you have... if all right, that was weird. Wait, did you play double Janeway?
Yeah, I accidentally played double Janeway. You can do that.
Suicide.
All right. Okay. if you were inclined,
what was that again?
If you were inclined to join our Patreon and enjoy some bonus content, you can go to patreon.com/itsgotstartrek and check it out. All right, we do have one mail-em up this week, and it is from Jack from 2 Minute Trek.
I'll be damned.
Hello, it's Scott Star Trek gang. I am Jack from 2 Minute Trek. I'm pretty sure you guys know me. And yes. I am here to talk about three things today. I was listening to your episode on Random Thoughts yesterday, and I was listening to you talking about the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles debate you guys having if it's cool but rude or cool but crude. Mm-hmm. And I, when Dan, you played the clip that had the thing that said Raphael is cool but crude, I definitely heard crude as I just said.
There you go.
So sorry everyone else, but that is what I heard for the first time hearing it. Second thing, I also heard my dad send in something to you guys. And he said something about his friend. I don't remember the name, and that will be a bit annoying because he did make such a big deal about that. So I should probably remember the name. But
I don't remember the name either.
He said, "I bet you didn't even like Ninja Turtles after they got into a fight."
Yeah.
So I need.
I bet
to
you
know
didn't even like Ninja
what is
Turtles.
Something better I can say to him than that?
That's tricky.
I need a better insult. I just need it. I need to top that, you know. And I guess the third thing is. Don't worry. I know you've been really sad that we've not posted 2 Minute Trek in forever.
Yeah, it's been a little while.
We will post again soon. And if there is no posts, and you can look back on this, send a tweet and say, well, you said this. So thank you for having me on the show.
Yes, it's a good way to hold yourself accountable. Thank you very much. Thank you, Jack. There are a couple points there.
I think the argument is settled now for cool but crude.
All right. It's not settled.
Thank you.
It maybe continues.
Thank you.
It's not subject. All right. All respect to Jack.
I think we're just getting different input from various
exactly.
folks.
He is just he's just providing additional perspective.
And it is interesting and a little bit frustrating, but definitely interesting how there's so many different takes on this.
And for the uninitiated.
How so many people don't see the truth.
For the uninitiated, there has been just this sort of string of debates we've had on about whether or not the lyrics to the 1987 Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles theme song says that Raphael is cool but rude or cool but crude.
Why is that?
Evidence and opinions have been presented from all sides. Jack has provided his evidence here, or at least his opinion, I should say. And it agrees with Dan. Jesse and I tend to be on the other side.
I think it's weighting in my direction pretty heavily. At some certain point, you can't make a comeback.
Yeah, I think you're just trying to be contrary.
Dan's a big fan that he just declares stuff. Yeah. He's just like gonna just declare stuff.
I'm gonna be this way, and you guys can't say it. One thing at all.
I told you so.
All right. Well, so we appreciate that. So that was point number one. Point number two is Jack was referencing Isaac had written us and said that somebody when he was a child, one of the only fights he'd ever been in was when at some point during the fight, the person, as an insult, said, "I bet you don't even like Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles."
Yeah.
And I think it was in reference to probably the 1990 movie is I believe what it was referencing. Mm-hmm. And
which is pretty messed up.
And so Jack has asked us if we have an even better insult than that. I don't know. Off the top of my head, it's tricky because that's a pretty rough one to say, like, I bet you don't even like Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. I don't know if there's an exact equivalent. Dan, do you have any thoughts?
You could say, that time you said you had Double Dragon 2, you were lying. You could say that.
That is one relevant example.
Oh, zing!
Zap!
Sing a zang.
So what Dan has done there is he's brought in a bit of his own backstory.
Yes.
Because Dan, when he was when he was a child, another child refused to believe that he had purchased a video game.
Exactly.
A video game that was indeed available to the public.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, right. That kid was an asshole. Because
he said, yeah, he said, like, oh, yeah, I was playing Double Dragon 2, and then I walked up and said, hey, I just got that recently. It's fun. He's like, no, you didn't. And I was like, what do you mean? I got it. He's like, I don't believe you. And I was, and
don't
I said,
believe
and
you.
I said, why not? He's like, I don't know. I just don't believe you. And then, well, like, that was yeah. it. That was a fucking asshole.
He is a piece of shit. As many children are. We've mentioned
that. What was that kid's name?
Frequently on this podcast.
What was that kid's name?
All right. We don't need to dox. Well, he's not a small child anymore, so I guess it's not as horrible. Because in my mind, the problem is in my mind, I'm just imagining a small child.
I think it was,
and you're all like, let's get his name out on
I think
internet.
It was Nathan. I think his name was Nathan.
Oh, no, that's a terrible name.
Okay, well, I'm not going to align myself with that particular name.
I made no comment on that one.
Okay. Every week we get a few emails, but next week's going to be a lot of emails, I think. Okay, let's see here.
Was a man who was truly irrepressible.
And the third point made by Jack was that 2 Minute Trek has been on a bit of a hiatus, but they will be returning soon. And of that, I am very happy. Did that make sense? Of that, I'm very happy.
I'm with you.
With that.
But the thing is, I'm
because of that. Of
I'm really smart, so that's why I'm with you. So I don't know.
I always thought you were pretty smart.
Yes. Go subscribe. There's lots of back catalog of 2 Minute Trek. If you don't know, it's reviews of Star Trek episodes, but they're 2 minutes long. And
far out.
They're brilliant. They're hilarious. They get cut off if they go over 2 minutes. It's pretty genius.
This is most unusual.
Very enjoyable. All right. So go check that out. Thank you again, Jack. Okay, I think that's it. I guess we should mention, if people want to send in a voicemail, go ahead, send in an MP3 or go to itsgotstartrek.com/record. If you would like to send in an email, the old-fashioned style, you can do that at feedback@itsgotstartrek.com.
Not feedback.
It's important that you know the distinction.
Feedback.
This is most unusual.
Okay.
Did you notice that? Like,
is her tooth whistling?
Yeah,
no,
like the thing in the thing with the like with the with the dogs.
Wait,
the Disney
wood.
Dogs.
Here, wait.
Lady and the Tramp.
Wait. Here, listen.
This is most unusual.
I'm not super excited about you playing that over and over again. My ears.
No.
Oh, Jesus.
Oh, stop it.
What the hell is that? You know, some people use our podcast to go to sleep.
Oh, man, not this one, they're not.
Well, maybe.
It's
I don't
like
know.
If a bird had teeth.
Oh, man.
What the hell is going on?
Precisely. Oh,
what?
All right. Episode of Star Trek.
We should talk about this episode.
About suicide. We are.
Oh, no.
We're well into it. I guess first to note, this is called Death Wish. It's one of the few Q episodes that doesn't have Q in the name.
Oh, that's true.
This was the first time the Q interacted with Voyager. True. They had three Q related episodes.
Mm-hmm.
We already discussed the follow up to this episode, the Q in the Gray, in episode 203 of It's Got Star Trek. We have not yet discussed Q2, which is when Q has a son. And with the Q stuff on Voyager, it's kind of interesting. According to Memory Alpha, Kate Mulgrew and John DeLancey were like good friends for a long time, but they never worked together.
Oh,
so
I didn't know that.
Mulgrew was like haranguing the producers to say, like, we got to get John DeLancey on, you know, it's Q. Like, why not? We're friends. I want to hang out with him or whatever. And it worked out pretty well. It's the Voyager Q stuff is a little, it's got a different vibe than the TNG Q stuff. The TNG Q stuff was a little bit more like peppy and biting.
Well, Q was talking about, they were talking, referencing how Q in the past was like
rambunctious,
I guess, as he said.
This was a man who was truly irrepressible.
Because originally, other Q, and which I'm going to refer to as Quinn, because I've seen that in.
Right.
Yes, a lot of people refer to him.
Even
as
though
Quinn.
They don't mention Quinn anywhere in the episode.
Subtitle said Q2.
I think at the very end, they assigned him the name Quinn.
Okay, then I guess they
did. I may have imagined.
At the end,
I do imagine
Quinn. Yeah.
No, that's true. Okay, yeah, they were talking about how Q was like all like, you know, misbehaving all the time. And then misbehaving. He was misbehaving. He was talking about how he was like
I'm a born again Q.
Yeah. Like that. So at some point along the way, he decided to fall in line. Now, when did he fall in line? There's never an episode that he fell in line, is there?
There's the TNG episode, which we discussed. Yeah. He was made into a human.
Yeah.
As punishment.
Yeah.
And
but
then they let him come back if he promised not to be all rascally.
Yeah.
Now he did subsequent rascally stuff, but not at the same degree of rascaliness than during like earlier TNG when he was fucking around with Riker and introducing the Borg and getting a bunch of people murdered.
Yeah, that Borg stuff was pretty rascally.
So in this episode, aside from the very end, it was but for the whole episode mostly, he was there was an absence of rapscallionism.
Rapscallionism.
There was an absence of rascalism from Q this episode.
You mean where he gets into a transporter accident and gets turned into a tween?
No. I don't even know what you're talking about.
I'm talking about the TNG episode Rascal.
Okay,
Rascal.
Fine.
You remember?
That one should have had Q in it.
He's my number one dad.
Look, okay,
you know that whole business?
Jesus Christ.
Well, that used to be popular. That's why I'm bringing it up.
Okay.
All right. He's not going to do it, folks.
I'm going to... You're stressing me out too much.
I'm sorry. This is my fault. I agree.
He wasn't rascally in this episode, except at the very end when Quinn told him that he should be rascally. Then he was like, goofy goof, I'm goof Q. And then he started hitting on Janeway and stuff. Which, by the way, there was a lot of weird sort of like...
The misogyny. He wasn't rascally, but he was bizarrely misogynistic.
But real quick, like you were saying, like, yeah, he turned back into a human and he was supposed to get in line. But as you said, he didn't fully fall in line. In the Voyager ones, it seems like he's fully in line, right? Was he...
No, only in this one at the beginning, so this one leads directly into mild spoilers for many years old show, as a result of the end of this episode.
Okay, but the next one is
the next one is the Q in the Gray, which is where there's a civil war going on.
Right.
And then the one following that is where he has his son.
Okay, and so that what my point stands then, which is that he was rascally, there was lack of rascalism in this episode, but then at the end of this episode he became a real rascal and continued from that point forward. What's implied is that there's a time between TNG and that episode where he was fully in line that we didn't get to see,
and he calls her Kathy once in this episode, and then like the follow-up episode he's like calling her Kathy all the time.
He also calls her Madam Captain in this one, and she's all like saying don't call me that. But then did you notice at the end at the very end he called her Madam Captain? I didn't even notice that until the second time.
It was more endearing in the end bit.
Well,
the misogyny did throw me off.
He's a charmer.
The misogyny makes sense.
He wasn't a charmer.
in the 90s context, this is a 1996 episode.
Well, I guess that's what we get for having a woman in the
captain's seat. For the audience. But the problem I had with the misogyny was, first of all, it felt a little out of character for Q.
Did anyone ever tell you you're angry when you're beautiful?
Who normally doesn't seem to give a shit about things like sex or gender or, you know, that sort of thing.
Right.
And also, like, presumably, and every impression we get is that Janeway is just not dealing with this type of stuff in the 24th century Federation and in Starfleet, that it's just like... Generally, it's not. It's, the idea is that it's not such an issue that nobody finds it weird that Janeway's a captain. It's not like some thing.
Yeah, which was weird that
it's a thing from the meta standpoint of she's the first female captain on a Star Trek television show.
And her response though was as if she did go through that stuff, because at first she gave him like an icy stare, and then she like rolled her eyes and was exasperated. Yeah. And that's a reaction you'd give to some.
It's like, I got to deal with this shit all the fucking time.
Yeah, like something you'd expect to happen that you hate does happen.
Starkly contrasts with Riker's reaction to be like, oh, you're Captain Janeway.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Of the Voyager, of course.
Yeah,
Captain Janeway.
So her reaction made it seem like it happened a lot, but really, it wouldn't have even been, like you said, Jesse, they wouldn't have even really considered that. Right. So it was weird. It wasn't really quite sure what point they were going with that whole thing.
So touchably soft. What is your secret, dear?
Yeah. Yes.
I did like, I forget exactly what the line was, but it was something along the lines of, say, is this a ship of the Valkyries?
Is this a ship of the Valkyries? Yeah, that was weird too. Like,
or have you human women finally done away with your men altogether?
I liked how he begins it.
Say,
Is this a ship of the Valkyries?
Say. I like when everyone says, say.
Well, it's like he almost was like,
is this a ship of the Valkyries?
Is this just ship all chicks? Is it all chicks on this ship?
You know what I also like? I like this line.
No matter.
I like when people say that. No matter.
No matter.
Nothing matters.
No matter.
Say.
Say.
Say. Is this a ship of the Valkyries?
Say.
Okay. Before
the
we
dudes?
Before we
I like the
guy in the Jeep.
Yes, I remember. I was hoping you'd grab that one because
the guy in the Jeep.
I have
the guy in the Jeep. 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 Guy in the Jeep. Guy in the Jeep. Guy in the Jeep.
I'm to be locked up for eternity. I'm to be locked up. Locked up. Locked up. Locked up. Locked. 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 I'm to be locked up for eternity.
Dan's getting into this a little early this episode. So
for eternity.
What is a rabbit anyway?
Locked. All right, we'll get to the rare bit slash
I'm
rabbit.
To be locked up versus rare bit.
That was a funny.
What okay. The what?
The Welsh rare bit. Okay, we'll get to it now. Well, all right, fine. Yeah. We'll get to it now.
That was a weird little joke.
A funny little joke. Because there's Welsh rare bit.
Right.
Is a dish.
It's
but it sounds like
it's
rabbit. Like,
it's like bread and gravy. Oh,
exactly. But there's no rabbit in it.
Yeah.
But then Neelix is asking about like, yeah, rabbits, and then he doesn't know what a rabbit is.
What is a rabbit anyway? Anyway. What is a rabbit anyway? Anyway. Anyway. What is a rabbit anyway? Anyway.
That one's scary.
What is a rabbit anyway? What is a rabbit anyway? Anyway, what is a rabbit anyway? Anyway, what is a rabbit anyway? What is a rabbit anyway? Anyway, what is a rabbit anyway?
Nobody tell Neelix about rabbits. Good lord, like he's gonna.
What is a rabbit anyway? Anyway, 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 what is a rabbit anyway?
Don't tell Neelix about.
Anyway, anyway, what is a rabbit anyway? Anyway.
All right, good.
That's weird, dude.
Are you feeling good about yourself?
Kinda.
All right. Okay. I'm glad.
Suicide.
Oh.
Yeah, well, okay, yes, the suicide is not so painless as it turns out. Discussing it certainly isn't because all I'm trying to do is get that part started.
Oh, okay, yeah, let's do it.
Okay. Yeah. Before because we have a few minutes before the break, so we just have to, you know, get the whole
bunch of jammies.
Right, you know.
Proceed.
The whole topic of this episode, I guess there's kind of two things. Some of it's sort of like more generic bodily autonomy, sort of from a philosophical moral standpoint, and then it's the whole suicide issue. And yeah, that's like a tricky topic. It's fairly heavy, but it's an interesting sci-fi twist on it, of course, because it's talking about the issue of like living forever. Mm-hmm. And how there's different ways you could demonstrate how that might be problematic, but I like the idea of it kind of being boring.
Yeah.
And at the end, it's sort of presented that the state is forcing it on the individual, yeah, as opposed to the state killing you. The state is forcing immortality.
Well, there's this weird line Quinn gave during the courtroom scene. He was like, "In the continuum, an individual has an obligation to be responsible to the path his life will follow." Mm-hmm. And then he says, "I never yielded that obligation to the continuum. If the path I choose leads to death, what right do they have to interfere?" It's kind of like a technicality he's kind of getting at. Because
it was
like
a line that I think if you parse it out, doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, exactly.
There's a couple things.
It's just saying like it's my responsibility to do what I want to do, so therefore I can do whatever I want. And that doesn't really make any sense.
I think I'm going to do whatever I want to do. This episode is super interesting, and it tackles some interesting and tricky topics and in a context that is interesting to consider because of this whole like, you know, immortality factor. But while I think they've got some interesting parts, there's also some parts that just like the line you just said that just sort of didn't make sense. Right?
Yeah. The you were talking about how like it is a difficult topic, you know, to bring up. Q actually blatantly kind of broke it down. It was like he was speaking to the audience at one point when he's talking to Janeway. He goes, "Well, this is going to make for an amusing diversion. Will you send him to prison for eternity, or will you assist in his suicide plan?" And that was straight up just like announcing kind of to the audience, like
they're like, "Dude, this is a clever plot, isn't it?"
Right? It's like, "This is why this is good.
You're gonna keep watching. This is kind of interesting, isn't it?" And it is, but there was another line that I thought was sort of pseudo intellectual in a sense, where he says the individual's rights will be protected only so long as they don't conflict with the state. And the reason why I found that just sort of slightly aggravating is one of those things that I think sounds smarter than it is, is because the state by definition is about the individual like their rights being abrogated for the preferences of the state. Now, you can have a state that's very in favor of as many individual rights as possible, but there's still going to be times where they're like, "We're going to shoot you in the head," or "We're going to take money for taxes," or whatever, right? I'm not saying that you have to live that way. You can have a stateless society, or anarcho-communism, whatever, but then that's not a state, right? Like, a state by definition is like somebody gets to tell you what to do in some form or another. And it was a really interesting idea because we don't actually learn anything about the Q state, right? It's very vague.
Yeah.
It's good enough. It's good enough for the conversation, but it's a little vague.
Well, okay. Well, I mean, they're always saying how like nobody's going to understand what it's really like. So this is just sort of a parable, you know, a metaphor or something, you know, some kind of like, they're making it simple. This is sort of what it's like. It's like sitting in a boring gas station.
I was going to say, the things we do learn about this episode, about Q, which is not much, like Patrick said, but we learn that they're not actually omnipotent, which I guess you could sort of like, you could kind of like assume that in a way, but at the same time, he straight up says, "We are not omnipotent," and they were always presented as omnipotent. And they just, they know so much more than us that it seems like they're omnipotent. And then he gave that line, he says, "As the Q have evolved, we've sacrificed many things along the way, not just manners, but mortality and a sense of purpose and a desire for change and a capacity to grow. And every loss is a new vulnerability." So that's also kind of like, that's an interesting philosophical way of looking at it. You know, it's like by being omnipotent, we're, you know, sort of like dogmatic and static. And
no, you're gonna start a rap?
I'm gonna start like a big long word, annoying word rap.
Dogmatic.
Say, is this a ship of the Valkyries?
Okay, can you hold that thought off just for a second? We'll take a break and come right back and then continue the thought. Is that cool?
We will meet again.
All right, we will be right back. All right, we are back, and we are continuing Dan's thought.
My thought, this is Let's Continue Dan's Thought Time. At the bottom of the hour. That means 30. That's because of an analog clock. Like,
let's interrupt Dan's thought.
Yeah.
Every chance we get.
All right.
Right. Yeah, my favorite. So, point being is a desire for change. And like that whole thing is like, yeah, there's no changing with the Q. And that's pretty much the only thing that's interesting is things changing. Yeah,
although they kind of do both things in this episode.
I mean, I guess you could consider some things changing, like being the Scarecrow for a while. Yeah. Like that's something new. It's different. That's a change.
Up to a point. So, okay, this is what I'm getting at, right? They've constructed a world that sort of covers multiple bases because, first of all, if they were truly omnipotent, from a logical standpoint, it's like that immediate, almost instantaneously, you turn into a stasis mode, right? There's nothing to do. Like, once you do everything, there's nothing to do, right?
Big deal.
So they're smart to kind of constrain the level of potence of the Q, but they're still giving them this whole like, well, you can live long enough to do basically everything and get bored.
Yeah, there's like literally nothing left to say. It's already been said. That sounds really boring.
Especially since they can travel back and forth through time to the end of the universe, the beginning of the universe, whatever they want to do, right? Mm-hmm. So they're fairly potent, even if they're not omnipotent.
He's extraordinary.
So yeah, that's good. But like I said, it's it presents some interesting ideas. They investigate a few of them. I do like a lot of what's in here. But again, we've talked about this a few times where sometimes these episodes throw a bunch of cool ideas at you, but they don't fully explore any of them.
I And this is not a criticism on the episode, but I thought it was weird that he wouldn't even like live out the rest of his human life, because 50 years when you've been living for a millennium, I mean, it seems like 50 years is nothing. Like, why not just live out your human life?
He was really set to die.
He was like, I want to die this second. Like, yeah,
I mean, he's probably been around a really long time already, so.
Yeah, but I mean, 50 more years, fuck. Patrick, I do agree with you, because there are
given it a chance.
There are some weird things in this episode, but this is actually one of my preferred is not the right word in this situation. One of my more liked.
You don't want to say favorite? You don't
It's not my favorite.
But you've said this is one of my. So is this one of your favorite Voyager episodes?
This episode of Voyager is more better than, in my opinion.
More better.
Than what?
Than other episodes of Voyager.
Than all other episodes of Voyager?
No! Then it would be my favorite.
I'm just clarifying. I'm just clarifying, because what you said was,
I think this
episode of Voyager is more better than other episodes of Voyager.
This is one of the better episodes of Voyager, in my opinion.
All right.
I enjoy this episode.
I really enjoy this episode.
I like when they present the boring continuum. Yeah. Whether it makes sense or not, it's fun. It's kind of fun. I don't know. I still haven't quite figured out what that whole reading the magazine, the old and the new.
It was a little abstract.
Yeah, I mean, I know it was going for something, but
it was
wasn't
some sort of David Lynch style thing.
I wasn't sure exactly what they were going for. Is it like,
well, what are you going for?
I'm still not, or like, you know, like the dog, is it and like the scarecrow?
Is it mean like the alpha and the omega? Is that what the old and the new means? It's something like that. I'm the alpha and the omega.
I mean, they make a point of saying that, like, this is just, we're going to present it in a way that you're going to understand it. But it's still like all kind of like,
yeah, but
surreal and bizarre.
But the thing is like, other than the dog and the scarecrow, which were just sort of like representations of an abstract whatever, like the and just sort of arbitrary representations when it comes down to it. I'm saying, when they're reading a magazine that says the old and the new, that has to have like meant something, because it was like very specific. I'm going to write the old and the opposite, which is the new. That's why I think it was.
Right.
I think it's the part where it's like, I am the alpha and the omega. I think it's like the Q. Yeah, the Q is the beginning and the end. There are the old and the new.
The old was like a big thick book, and the new was like this like thin sort of newspaper.
Oh, I didn't notice that. You know what? Maybe it doesn't mean that. Maybe just see. That's the thing. It's confusing. I don't really know exactly what it means.
I think it means that. I think it was Michael Piller wrote this, right? With the story from his son Sean Piller.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I think Michael Piller was like, "Hey, this is the type of shit you put in there, and it'll drive the fans crazy.
Wow.
They're gonna think about all sorts of crazy shit."
Right.
Get out.
You're going to smoke a bunch of weed and be all like, it means this.
It's like the Guardian of Forever shit.
No matter.
No matter.
So they found this Q Quinn guy it was a non-comment. It looked like a weird
Superman prison comic.
Yeah,
the crystal that in Superman.
It smelled like a comic.
So they
said, what?
That's what they said. It looked and it tasted and it smelled like a, you know, that's how they talk.
Oh yeah, I forgot.
They looks, feels, and tastes silly. Just like a comet.
Yeah,
yeah.
I remember that. It made me feel a little uncomfortable.
Yeah. And so the way they got Quinn out of that thing, Harry locked onto a core fragment of this non-comet, and he pulled out a
Harry.
Q.
What a dude.
Harry,
I really disrupted your shit.
Harry locks onto a core fragment of this sort of comedy thing, and he pulls out a Q. Now, my question is, did they pull the Q out, or did Q just use it as a chance to escape? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
did they accidentally,
because
they're going to pull out a fragment, but they pulled out a Q.
Because he pops out and he's wearing a Starfleet uniform. That means, like, that's, you know, they're up to mischief.
Well, I mean, I don't know if that tells us whether or not he was pulled out or escaped.
He escaped.
You think he escaped?
Yes.
Okay. I mean, okay.
I think he escaped.
You think they escaped because he was wearing a Starfleet uniform?
Hey, I'm on team pulled out.
Okay.
I'm on team pulled out. I think he grabbed onto. He like hugged a few molecules. He was like, shit. He's like, check out those molecules.
Oh,
those molecules
actually
are being beamed out. And so he was all slurped himself in.
That's a similar type of situation.
I don't think
that's how he escaped.
Yeah. Okay. I thought you meant escaped as in he just takes advantage of the situation.
I meant there's a ship nearby.
What I meant was, did Harry, like, when they grabbed a comet fragment, did they accidentally grab him and they accidentally pulled him out, or was his getting out like done on purpose?
He took advantage. I'm saying that what I think you're saying is that he took advantage of the situation escaped.
Right.
Oh, yes.
And that's kind of what you were saying.
That's what I was saying. Okay. I'm glad that we are now on the same page.
Accepted.
Enigmatic,
provocative.
It is. All right. Well, what about
He just waltzed through that that containment field. If you watch this the scene with him like appearing in the containment field, you see like the silhouette of B'Elanna from behind, right. and he like comes up and her head's not
the silhouette of B'Elanna's on it. The wall?
The
silhouette of B'Elanna is on it, on the wall?
The simulacrum of the
silhouette, or a shadow?
B'Elanna's on it.
There we go. All right.
Look
at this guy, coughing his lungs up.
So you see...
They call him Jesse Coughs.
You see the shot from behind B'Elanna, and what you see is...
Behind B'Elanna? Beyond B'Elanna.
This is why I feel like I have to talk really fast because I don't get my ideas out otherwise. We've had this discussion.
Jesse's just doing his hype man mode, you know? He's just got to work on the timing.
So when they showed the shot of the transporter and then he like appears and then there's this containment field around him, in that same shot, you see the back of B'Elanna's head. Now, if you look at it as he appears, he's there for a few seconds before they switch shots. In those few seconds, B'Elanna's head does not move at all. You would think that as soon as he appeared, she'd be like, "What?" But she doesn't go, "What?"
until she's frozen.
Until he walks out. When he walks out, that's when she's like, "What's going on?" But when he appears, she just seems totally cool with it.
Mm.
You know, that's what I noticed.
Yes.
I think they just...
I noticed that, too.
I think it was just kind of like when they do ADR, when you can tell the mouth's not moving from behind, and the...
Yes, okay, Dan. Right now, Dan is making it look like his mouth is infested with worms, wiggling his fingers out of his worms.
So, he's got fingers out of his worms.
He's speaking with a forked tongue.
It doesn't make any sense. It's not conveying the point that he's saying.
You know, sometimes they show those angled behind the headshots where you can't see their mouth, but you can see the side of their mouth, and you can tell that the ADR doesn't match up with their mouth.
He's with his mouth. Yes, I do know what you mean.
And it's maybe
you're miming is not matching up with you. What you're miming is that you've been taken over.
Are you Cthulhu, dude?
You have some sort of tentacled creature infesting you, and tentacles are coming out of your mouth.
So I'm wondering if that's all they did is they did a...
You wondering this, or is it the creature in your belly?
No, look, I'm thinking they already had the shot, and then later on they put the cue appearing, and so they didn't bother to like move around or have B'Elanna move because like... They shot that first, and then it wasn't until later they added Q appearing. Because I just think it's odd. You'd think there would be some kind of reaction, like a lazy ADR, except it's not ADR.
I didn't notice that, and I think that is something that I will go back and investigate.
As will the bulk of our audience, no doubt.
We'll also go back and investigate that.
What is a rabbit anyway? Anyway, 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 anyway. What is a rabbit anyway? Anyway.
Okay, so the Big Bang, Asylum.
Oh, okay.
I'm just reading things off of this computer screen here. All right.
They were on a Christmas tree.
Yes, okay. Which is, by the way, is that the Christmas tree?
Christmas.
Let's pause for a moment.
Pause.
The Christmas tree. Is this Christmas tree...
From Picard, from Generations?
First of all, I hadn't considered that. What I was going to ask is...
That creepy-ass whatever, like that the second, house he grew up in?
It's the second Christmas tree that we've seen in Star Trek, I think. I don't know. There may be. I allow for the possibility.
What about the Star Trek Christmas special?
Write into us and let us know if we're wrong about that on social media or on email, feedback@discussstartrek.com. I think that we've only seen two Christmas trees, and I think this is one of them.
Mm.
I don't know that. I don't believe it's the same one as in Generations. Dan's referenced the one in Generations,
right,
when Picard is in the Nexus and has what appears to be a horrific nightmare.
Yeah, that room with all those weird, creepy dolls,
and the way he was acting, and it just
felt like it was like in a Charles Dickens
menacing.
We should talk about that movie.
Yeah, well, at some point we'll get to it. We have to wait for Dan's algorithm to suggest it, even though I don't think it's actually set up to do that.
We've only done like two movies.
Yeah, we did Star Trek 3 and Star Trek 6.
Oh,
but those are two very entertaining movies.
One more thing we actually learned in this episode. We didn't know that Vulcans practiced ritual suicide before this, did we?
I don't know for sure.
Well,
I don't know. It's possible it's come up in the lore.
It's like believable.
That's the thing is that it could be a TOS thing. Yeah. It could be just something that we don't remember.
I'll be damned. Sort of sounds right if somebody tells you that. You're like, yeah, of course.
Yeah,
right. It's all logical.
I could buy that.
Yeah.
I can buy that.
I could buy that.
I can buy that.
Can buy that.
So, yeah, I like this episode was like pretty trippy, man. Because there was like, you know, the whole Q continuum thing at the end. But then this chase scene.
It
the chase scene where first they're transported to the birth of the universe, but outside of it.
Yeah.
Baryonic matter.
And then they get attacked by protons.
Somehow they got shrunk on down.
We've been reduced to subatomic proportions. We're being attacked by protons. There are no stars outside.
So,
I like when Balana's like, this ship will
not survive the formation of the cosmos.
Yeah, exactly.
I was like, that's a great Star Trek line.
This ship will not survive the formation of the cosmos.
She's more exasperated than worried. Yeah,
that's why she's the chief engineer. Right.
But the Big Bang, then the protons, and then all swirly and goofy.
So first of all, like it's kind of abstract.
Far out.
It was far out.
Abstract.
So it started off pretty weird because they were at the birth of the universe outside of it, and then when they got attacked by protons was even weirder because that graphic of all the protons coming at them. And then that Christmas
we're tethered to a large plant.
Yeah, the Christmas tree at the end was just fucking wacky.
Why didn't he know what a Christmas tree was?
The Christmas tree was just fucking wacky, and then they like topped it all off as icing on the cake. It's like Q is holding. Yeah. Them
and it's like it's in Q's
so they were, it they also were, I think references the Star Trek ornaments that you can buy where you get the little ships that are ornaments.
It's an example of where you can think of a dimension that just doesn't make any sense. It's not just like, oh, we're really small or we're really far away. It's like we are an ornament in some dimension where it's possible to live as an ornament and like still it's bizarre.
I have a TOS I appreciated the weirdness. Shuttlecraft Christmas ornament that says if you push the button, it has Spock saying like "Merry Christmas."
Is y'all like Christmas? He's not like logical.
He's like Shuttlecraft Enterprise. Merry Christmas, or like Harry. Maybe he says Happy Holidays or something.
Happy Holidays,
Spock. You know, probably didn't celebrate Christmas.
So let's see. Some sexist. Go back to some sexist Q remarks. He talked about having a woman on the captain's seat. He said the Valkyrie one, and then he's like the one where he's, "Do you ever tell you're angry when you're beautiful?" And then,
just like, come on, that's like, what is that? Like, 1980s soap opera or something.
And he says, a hearing, you would have me put this future in your delicate little hands. Mm. Oh, so touchably soft. What is your secret, dear? And there was this weird one. He goes, that's a toughie. But that's why they made you the captain, isn't it? To handle this real, the real tough ones.
Yeah.
Then he goes, my. Now I guess. I'm having a lot of problems with this reading today.
You can do it, dude. You can do it. I won't interrupt.
And he says, my, I guess now we get to find out whether the pants really fit. And did you notice when he said, we get to find out whether the pants really fit, right before he says it, he all like looks at her butt.
Get out.
And so that was like...
It was weird.
Yeah, it was weird. And then
like I said earlier, it was an out of place. Yeah. It seemed weird for the character. It seemed weird for Star Trek.
He doesn't do that stuff. Yeah.
The way I mind canoned it... mind canoning was that he likes to aggravate people. He would aggravate Picard in his own way. Mm-hmm. And, he aggravated Worf by, saying, eat any good books lately, that sort of thing. Right, yeah. He called, Data a mechanical man or whatever. And I figure in his mind, he's saying, I'm aggravating her by being misogynistic. And it does seem to be aggravating her. But like you said, Dan, like that sort of implies that that's something she knows about. So again, it just throws me off a little bit.
But then it all ended up like maybe he was hitting on her the whole time because it ends up with him in bed with her. Asking her to become romantically involved with him, which is very bizarre.
Yes.
But he just like does it to mess with her because he's not really into that.
But it seems like he actually is this time, though, which makes it even weirder. Because
it's some weird stuff.
And then there was also a weird line, which it sounded like he was trying to like say something when they were back at the beginning of the universe, and he was like looking at B'Elanna. I think he says, "But just think of the honor of having your DNA spread from one corner of the universe to the other." And then he goes, "Why, you could be the origin of the humanoid form." It's like, and it seems like he was trying to be clever about something. Like he was trying to say something.
Right.
Like it didn't seem like he was just saying, like, "Who knows? Maybe you started the universe." It sounded like it was like a double entendre or something like that. He was trying to like make a joke, and I couldn't get what was. I don't know. The emphasis on that thing was weird.
Right.
You were just genetic material. Are you associating that with semen?
Yeah, something maybe.
He was like running out. He's run out of quips. Like he was on a bunch of TNG episodes, and like he's all run out of one-liners.
It's misogynistic, male-oriented.
Like, I'm gonna have to resort to this misogynistic
one-liners.
Shit.
Did you notice? I don't remember Q being this way before, but his lips were really purple.
They were purple,
and he had
this
ashen gray face.
That's
with
like
purple
that's
lips.
Like Voyager Q has some like purple lips. I think it's something
it's
they
part of the lighting.
They kind of did, yeah.
Uniforms.
Some wild.
I
business.
Demand an explanation.
I bet you do. Before we move on, I was thinking about this. I was like, you know, this is a comedy podcast. And this episode,
damn right it is.
It attempts to be in any case. And this episode, of course, one of the prominent topics of this episode is suicide, which is not a particularly funny
suicide.
Topic, suicide.
Right?
Suicide.
You were trying to commit suicide. 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 You were trying to commit suicide. Suicide. Suicide.
But suicide. I did want to see. I was like, I want to see what the internet says.
Chop suicide.
So I just typed into Google. I just asked Google for hilarious suicide jokes.
Wait, I thought you were gonna say I was gonna ask Google if other people found this episode like, you know, focused on suicide controversial. No. You're like, no, I'm just gonna be more controversial.
No, I don't think this is controversial. I went through and there were a bunch of stupid jokes. Most of them are really dumb. And most of the ones I have here, I just have a few here. Most of these are very dumb too, but I just thought, as a matter of course, you know, we should see what's going on out there.
A horse is a horse.
I think you'll notice too. You made me think of it now, in fact, because we were talking about the misogyny that Q was displaying in this episode, and many of these have sort of a misogynistic bent towards them. So this one's like a pickup line. The pickup line is, Hey girl, are you suicide? Because I think of you every day.
Oh, no. Get out.
Or suicide, that's the last thing I would ever do.
No.
What the hell is going on?
Oh,
hey, Dan.
That one was just clever.
Well, here's the thing. There are scenarios where even if the joke is distasteful, that the structure of the joke can be clever.
Absolutely.
Tell me what you think about this.
That's the same version. That's another
technique.
That's another version of the when people are like, you know, a glass always breaks on its last bounce or whatever.
Yes.
But that's worded more funny.
It's always the last place you look.
The suicide joke is worded more funny.
Just by the way, I've never heard that phrase.
I've never
heard the phrase, the glass always breaks on the last bounce. Is that a phrase or did you just make that up?
No, it's a thing. I'll look it up.
I believe you. It's a thing because I've experienced this. It makes sense. It's like the keys are always in the last place you look for them, right? That's the more common phrase.
Maybe it wasn't a glass, but there's some kind of.
It's always the last place you look.
It's one of those things
always in the last place look.
What it is is it's one of those like clever.
What it is is
one of those clever one-liners where you just like say a one-liner and it's supposed to be like, oh hey, that was weird.
All right. Well, tell me what you think about this one, Dan. This one's right up your alley. Why did the mathematician commit suicide? I'll let you even take a stab at this one.
Why did the mathematician
commit suicide? This is a very root one punchline. Why did the mathematician commit suicide? I have a quibble with this punchline, by the way.
Why did the mathematician commit
suicide?
I'm repeating the joke to buy myself time.
Why did the mathematician?
It's a word puzzle.
Why?
A word puzzle.
Do. I'm not giving you that whole Jeopardy time. All right.
It's not Jeopardy.
Time's up because he had too many problems.
Oh.
And by the way, that's my... Okay. The punchline is because he had too many problems.
I'll be damned.
My quibble with that is I don't think a mathematician could have too many problems. I think they would be delighted.
There's never too many.
And I think a mathematician is most well positioned to understand...
How do you know it's extra?
...that there are infinite problems.
Well, isn't
exactly.
that...
Exactly.
That's
what math is.
Isn't that like thing like where if you love something so much in hell, they give it to you until you hate it and want to kill yourself?
Yeah, I don't think that applies to mathematicians
agree, yeah.
and math problems.
they like them to infinity.
Yeah, I think by definition.
That's not how science works.
Why did the chicken commit suicide?
Why is that?
Why did the chicken commit suicide?
Why did the chicken commit suicide?
Because the chicken poultry rode and then the car, but it was
this
sad.
This joke, I think, is very clever.
The chicken...
This is probably one, the most clever one on this list.
Because it
had an existential problem.
Why... Okay, that's pretty good. Well done, sir. Well done. No.
Far out.
Why did the chicken commit suicide? To get to the other side.
Oh, no.
Ah, hey. Good, right? That was clever. See?
That wasn't so bad.
Suicide can be.
That was a meta joke.
Can be clever.
Simple is better.
Here's a political one. President Trump attempts suicide. Fails because of broken rope. Fake noose. Fake noose.
Fake
noose. Mm-hmm. Okay. All right.
Yes.
I don't know. I'm a pun guy, so I enjoy the puns. What about this one? Why did the why did the French person commit suicide when they couldn't find their olive oil?
Because they couldn't find their olive oil.
Because they had lost the huile d'olive. The huile d'olive. I don't speak French.
Get out.
Nobody does. That's the thing.
You were trying to commit suicide. You were trying to commit suicide.
Hey,
you were trying to commit suicide. You were trying to commit suicide.
I bet you can guess this one, Dan. Why did the fisherman commit suicide when the last dolphin died?
Because he lost his porpoise.
Yes! Because his life had no porpoise. Okay, that was so stupid. Finally, this is the last one. Suicide jokes are basically yo mama jokes of our generation. They're lazy, unfunny, and useless. Just like me. It was a clever one.
Yeah.
It's tricky. We don't want to commit suicide. We hope you don't want to commit suicide
either.
Those
weren't like your mama jokes.
It would be
a
bummer.
Those were just sort of
like
puns.
Me. It's not really a joke. That's just self-deprecating, that last one.
Yeah, but it's, you know, the other thing I found in my search, I found an academic article in a psychological journal.
Is it a joke that like me, is that implying that the person telling
the joke is
wants to commit
they're
suicide?
Lazy, unfunny, and useless.
Yeah, like
just
me.
Like me.
Okay, so I see.
But yeah, I did find a journal, a journal article that was very interesting when I did this.
I'll be the judge of that.
It did analyses where they had a control group of people without suicidal ideation and a group with suicidal ideation and asked them to tell jokes. And the people who had suicidal ideation, their jokes tended to have them be the target of some form of injury
at
a higher rate.
Interesting.
Even if it was not a serious thing in the joke.
Mm.
So that's a sign that somebody might be a little,
interesting.
You might want to talk to them or something. Okay, suicide. Back to the funny bits. Now that we finished the jokes. Now that we finished all the suicide jokes, to Star Trek.
Yeah, Star Trek. Let's see. Well, Q has his snappy snap.
Yes.
Right? The snap, the...
Yeah,
and then
which I always dig.
But Quinn had the whizzy finger motion.
Yes. It made me uncomfortable. It really made me uncomfortable.
Did you? And
because he was kind of like, he's like, I would put it right up your ass.
And but when he said, but okay, remember when he tried to kill himself, but he accidentally got rid of all the men in the ship, which is weird. I don't know how understand that connection. There's no connection because
no, it was just a joke.
Yeah, because at first you could say, well, instead of killing himself. As a man, they're a man, but he's not a man. He's not a man or a woman. He's a Q. So I don't know why.
Exactly.
Anyways, but then when he says, I apologize for the inconvenience, after he disappears all the men, he says that, and he does a whizzy hand instead of a whizzy finger. Mm. He disappears and does a whizzy hand. So instead of going wizzle woo with his finger up, he goes wazza wazza. And his finger and his hand floats back.
Wazza.
His hand or his ham?
Hand.
Okay, good.
Ham.
Good. All right, so we get this business started after all this running around. Quinn, Q asks for asylum.
I want some Q-ass asylum.
And this is one of those classic Star Trek scenarios where there are two omnipotent, quote-unquote omnipotent beings. Mm. I know, not fully omnipotent, but very powerful beings who are voluntarily submitting themselves to a Starfleet captain to enforce some sort of rules.
Well,
and it's Starfleet's reputation for their captains being so honorable that they're going to follow the rules.
Hilarious.
Well,
it's hilarious. It's also awesome. It's a great thing for kids to watch growing up and being like, this is the way you're supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
Totally.
Right?
Yeah.
That's kind of awesome.
When Janeway actually brought up the idea of like a hearing. That's right.
Yes.
I was gonna say trial hearing. Q actually perked up a little bit. He's like, oh, a hearing, because he loves his hearings. As
he
we
likes
know.
People yeah. to listen to him.
He likes that courtroom stuff. Yes, and oh, when he had that
he's a showboat.
When he brought himself to the stand at one point.
Yes, the double Q action.
This was
multi Q. Lilo Dallas multi Q. Is there an end game to this?
No.
So yeah. So what it looked like is it looked like they had
it's a Voyager joke.
It looked like they had it was the same performance by John DeLancey, and they just had different angles of it or something. Because if you look at it, it looks like they were moving precisely the same when he said. And he put his head in his hands. It looked like the exact same motion. Meaning, it looks like they recorded the same performance. With two cameras simultaneously. I don't know if they did, but that's what it looked like to me.
Eh.
Like they just played it, and instead of recording it twice, they just did it once with two at simultaneously. Instead of recording it.
I don't recall the instance.
Instead of having him to perform two separate times to create those two cues, I think they just did one and had two cameras simultaneously pointing different angles. Okay. You see what I'm saying?
You have a clever set of eyeballs in your head, sir.
That's what I think.
A clever set of eyeballs.
That's why this guy's on the podcast.
And a brain that is capable of rapt attention.
So touchably soft.
All right, so they're talking. They're doing this whole business. They're talking, and the talking. And
are we gonna get to like Isaac Newton?
Okay, yeah, we're gonna get to that. But how about this? Let's Mari do it. Ginsburg. Let's do the right thing, which in this case is to take a break.
Oh yeah.
And when we come back from the break,
the next break,
we'll get started about this whole witnesses business.
Witnesses business.
We will be right back. Okay, we are back.
This
is the It's Got Star Trek podcast.
We are robots.
As always.
No more suicide jokes. We've gone through the entire list.
We have exhausted.
Of suicide jokes.
We've done it to death.
Oh, boy.
All right, so Jesse had a secret one.
Oh, boy.
In his pocket.
Oh, boy.
It's not funny.
That's too loud, dude. It hurts my ears.
Yeah, it was a little bit loud.
How's that?
Okay. All right. So Q calls his witnesses after himself, of course. And what we get is we get Isaac Newton. Mm-hmm. We get a guy named, what was his name?
Maury Ginsberg.
And it was played by Maury Ginsberg.
He played himself.
And apparently, did you see on Memory Alpha that they had a different name in the script, but when they hired Maury Ginsberg, they were like, that name is perfect for like a hippie dude.
I know.
So they called him, changed his character name to Maury Ginsberg.
That's interesting.
But of course, most importantly, perhaps, they have our good old friend, Commander William
T.
Riker.
I'll be damned.
And this is part
of the... What the hell is going on?
This is part of the tradition, the good old Riker tradition of showing up on all the shows.
Yeah, exactly.
Because there's always Riker.
Riker was on, in addition to being on TNG, of course, he was on Voyager here. He was on Deep Space Nine as well.
He was even on Enterprise.
As his clone. So not technically him, but Frakes was on there. He was on Enterprise.
We talked about that one.
He was on Lower Decks.
Yep.
Right? I think that covers everything, but you know, it gets around.
Hasn't been on Discovery.
Colonel Thaddeus Riker.
Yeah.
When he said that, he all like had this Riker smile on his face. He had some classic Riker poses.
Old iron boots.
Iron boots. So Riker is pulled into this situation. Yeah. He probably recognizes Captain Janeway and is like, where have you been? You've been lost, you know, a couple years ago. And he sees Q and he's like, what the fuck, Q? But very rapidly is like, that is Riker.
Right,
he's like,
he's
all chill almost immediately.
Yeah, you'd think he'd be a little bit more shocked that he got like pulled out into that scenario, but he was just like, oh, crazy. I'm on the missing ship. And like, I'm wondering, like, I was trying to figure out in the time. Oh, first of all, can Q time travel? Can they?
Yes,
they can.
Well, they went to the beginning of oh, the yeah, that's universe.
They went to the Civil War.
The Big Bang.
They did it in the episode. I'm stupid. But yeah. So I was wondering when they pulled Riker out of like TNG land, mm-hmm. when they put him back, do you think they put him back at the same time he left, or yeah. do you think he was gone from his home for the like? During that time he was on Voyager. During that time on Voyager, do you think he was in real time gone from home? From
it doesn't
that?
Matter because he didn't remember.
Yeah, I think he's
what if somebody was around and they were expecting him to be there, and then he wasn't for like 5 minutes?
For storytelling purposes, I think it would have rectified itself. Yeah, I think it's the idea is Q can do whatever he wants.
I demand an explanation.
He's a mole
because Q is just doing a gag here. He's doing a silly old gag.
Because he
previously commented that he was like, I figured Riker would have gotten this command, right?
Right.
Riker's Civil War ancestor is what, New York?
I think it was Old Iron Boots.
Is Commander Riker is from like Alaska.
He's from Alaska, yeah. Yes. That's where he grew up. With his bad dad.
He had a bad dad. Well, Alaska's a bad place.
You've insulted Nathan's in Alaska today, Jesse. what else goes on the list?
Today is a dark day.
How many people you want to alienate here? Q was talking about Isaac Newton died forgotten in a Liverpool's debtor prison, a suspect in several prostitute murders.
What's interesting, it's going to be a joke, right?
Well, what's interesting is if you look up debtor's prison and Isaac Newton, what you get is a memory alpha page about debtor's prison for Star Trek. It goes, debtor's prison was an institution on ancient Earth where debtors were detained until they were able to pay off their debts.
Right. Which is crazy.
And then it goes on to say, then it says, according to Q, blah 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 blah. So this is like debtor's prison is its own category in memory alpha, its own category, and it's referring to debtor's prison as something that happened on ancient Earth, and it's in reference to the Star Trek episode, which is kind of interesting that debtor's prison gets its own entry in memory alpha from Star Trek.
Newton was sort of like pretty well off, and he didn't. Like,
no, and he was a virgin.
He was a noted virgin
for his whole life, which was commented upon during his lifetime.
Like Beethoven.
And so I was wondering if this is a joke on that. And if it is, is it just the minimal, it's funny for Q to accuse him of murdering sex workers or whatever, because, you know, it's just Isaac Newton and you just wouldn't expect that. Is that the joke? Or is it some like weird like joke about like, oh, this guy never got laid, so he's going to kill sex workers? I don't know. It threw me off a little bit.
Yeah.
It was still funny, but it did throw me off a little bit.
I like how when this exchange right here.
Far out.
Yeah.
Yes.
I like it.
Yes.
Far out.
Yeah.
Far out. Yeah. Far out.
The guy in the Jeep.
Yes.
Do you have
the guy in the Jeep.
Do you have when they said that he was like Woodstock or whatever? It was all weird how he said that.
Woodstock and he
Woodstock.
Like,
Woodstock.
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 Woodstock. Woodstock. Woodstock. Woodstock.
Yeah, it was
Woodstock. End millennia. Woodstock. End millennia.
All right.
Woodstock. End millennia. Woodstock. End millennia. End millennia.
Yes.
Where is Sri Lanka Boulevard?
That's a good question.
Is that a future construction?
Was it San Francisco or something?
I mean, I would imagine it's like, is it in San Francisco? Or is it just in like future San Francisco?
I don't know. It was a little bit bizarre. So we all critiqued a few of the other sort of pseudo philosophical lines, but I did want to make sure that we brought up that the line that for me was sort of like the best and most thought provoking line in the episode is where Q, whatever you want to name him, said, you could live a perfectly normal life if you were just willing to live a perfectly normal life, right? That idea is still relevant today, where it's like everyone's like, hey, all this bad shit that's happening to you, like you could just like be normal.
Right.
You could just be normal and then you wouldn't have to worry. You could pretend to be normal. And it's like, that's so fucked up.
Just conform. Yeah.
Right? And so that's, and especially in the context of they're trying to sort of go with the individual rights here. Mm-hmm. That's the side they're leaning on. The episode is clearly leaning in that direction, even though it's examining this issue of suicide The right to die due to malaise,
I know, it's funny. It sounds like a reductive way of putting it. Yeah. Saying, I'm saying, I killed myself because of malaise. Well, it makes it sound...
Sort of, but it is... no, but that's what's interesting to me about
sounds
it. Because
French.
That's the whole point about the whole thing that Janeway's on about, where it's like, look, it's much easier to make this decision if you're super old and or infirmed in terrible pain, but this is arguing that there is a scenario where psychic pain can be a justification for this, and I'm not saying I agree with that necessarily, but it is an interesting concept when you introduce this immortality. So it's immortality induced malaise being a justification for saying, look, I have every right to not be around anymore because I've done everything and I'm just like, I'm not into it anymore.
Because,
But
obviously that's not a real thing. So that's why it's a little bit, it's tricky to map it onto real life scenarios.
But if you think about immortality, it's reasonable to think that it's gonna get like just completely bland and boring. And
well,
it's gonna be like, oh my
but
God,
interesting. Like, Q are supposed to a proper Q is supposed to embrace that, because even when Quinn goes,
they're afraid of the unknown.
Like that is actually that's interesting, because by definition they have to be afraid of the unknown, because they know everything and they want to know everything and they need to know everything. They want to live forever. The unknown is sort of
the
like
the unknown is their enemy.
Yeah, right. Because and that's why they're afraid of him. Because they're used to knowing what's going to happen, because they've seen everything. Right? They're supposed to embrace this idea of stagnation. So if you want everything to be the same all the time, you would definitely be afraid of the unknown. And that's how they kind of put it when he says, you know, we never change, we never grow. Their whole life is around knowing everything.
Right.
But, you know, to at least intense and
because they've been around. Everybody's already been around a long time. Like all of those cube types are. They've all been.
I mean, yeah, you spend your life knowing everything. The longer you spend knowing everything, the longer, like, the more afraid you are going to be of things that you don't know.
Yeah.
And if you live a life based upon, you know, no change or growth, as Quinn was saying, like, it seems to follow. So there was another part that was kind of when they said, you find nothing contradictory in a society that outlaws suicide but practices capital punishment. Yeah. That seemed like it was kind of a dig on, like, you know, current rules
100%.
That we have. Yeah.
This episode sort of helps put the Q sort of on the level of other beings. Like, they're not so divine anymore. Mm-hmm. They're just other beings. They've got these issues because they have these crazy powers. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, they're not just omnipotent. They're almost omnipotent. Well, they're omnipotent as far as we're concerned.
Yeah,
but
it makes them. Yeah, it makes
they're
them,
not divine.
Well, yeah, it makes them more relatable. The fact that you think like they're because they're supposedly quote omnipotent or whatever, and all powerful, or you know, you think of that as like, oh wow, it's all good. It's all they are like superior to us in every way. But just like a human would have, or most things, there's a balance involved, and that balance is they lose out on this other stuff. And for example, being afraid of the unknown, you know, that seems like you shouldn't be afraid of things, but like if there's always a tit for tat, a yin and a yang,
perhaps, yes,
a Tweedledee and Tweedledum. Didn't the Q and Quinn
Dan's doing some clever miming again that it's a shame we don't broadcast the video on YouTube yet.
I felt like when
we do though, we might get in trouble.
I feel like Q and Quinn were basically like Tweedledee and Tweedledum, like how they were. And there was something kind of silly about Quinn, which was interesting because
he was
like,
a little whimsical.
He's a
which
silly
was
guy,
he was
yeah.
a philosopher, but he was also talking about fucking dying. But he was also this really silly kind of guy, you know?
Yeah. Woodstock, because that's the one thing I want more than any actor. Other is to die.
To die.
To die.
To die.
To die.
Yeah, Jesse, you were saying he's an interesting actor, and you're
Garrett
right.
Garrett Graham.
Yeah, he shows up
been
in tons
a
of
lot
stuff.
A lot of neat movies.
He was on Deep Space Nine. Season one, Deep Space Nine, is an alien hunter. It wasn't a big role, but he's a guy who, especially if you go back to like the 80s,
in the 70s, he's been in a lot of sort of like...
It's like in all the shows, basically.
Well, yeah.
Like usually like for one guest star, right?
In like, you know, sort
one
of weird movies. He was in weird movies.
weird movies.
The flippity doop of the week.
These weird movies. I like when Janeway fucking lost her shit.
The hell you will. The vaunted Q continuum.
Yeah.
Self-anointed guardians of the universe. How dare you come aboard this ship and endanger this crew with your personal tug of war.
Tug of war.
It was kind of funny how, like, he was like, I'm a Q, and everybody was like, oh shit, it's Q, but it was like...
Yeah, it was a different Q.
That's a different Q.
I dug that. The continuity in this episode... Continuity, whichever your preferred pronunciation is.
I like continuity.
The continuity is good.
That's like very good.
It freaks me out when you say it like that.
What, continuity?
Yeah, because it's like... Because
it's continuity. The word is continue, and it's continuity. You can say continuity is just fine by me.
Controversy?
No, controversy. Controversy.
Actually, controversy sounds like the way it would sound if you were mispronouncing it.
Yeah.
Controversy.
Controversy is already a silly word because it's like contra, like against, and versy, like versy. You know,
it's like a controversy. Like vicey
versy. Controversy.
So you say continuity?
Horsey.
Do you
Horsey.
Say
continuity or continuity? Are you talking about horses? What was he saying? Was he saying something about horses?
Do you say photography?
I do not say.
You say
photography.
Penguin or penguin?
Photography. No, I was saying
the continuity.
I was saying
the continuity.
What I was saying about Janeway is we don't get hear her freak out like a lot, and I thought it was awesome.
No,
that,
I love
that
when
she got super
out.
Fucking
well,
pissed
the,
off.
That's
at
why
him.
I was talking about the continuity is that or the continuity.
You say Janeway or Janeway?
Nobody says Janeway.
I'm fucking with you, Dan.
Is that they hinted at things that had previously appeared in the lore, particularly related to the Q, like that whole capital punishment thing, because on True Q, when on TNG, Amanda Rogers' parents, Amanda Rogers, played by Olivia Dabo, her parents were killed by the Q.
Killed by the Q?
Because they were trying to like hang out on Earth and be like humans or whatever, like be more human-y. And they didn't like that, so they had them murdered.
Here's the end of me.
Or maybe it was that they had the baby. Maybe that was what it was. I mean, that might have been it. Whatever.
Yeah, it was
that
a might, baby. Yeah.
It's been a while since I've seen that episode. But the long and the short of it is they'd already introduced this idea. Because when you're watching this episode and they're all like, oh, you can't kill yourself. It'll destroy everything. It's like, yeah, but you killed people. You've killed Q before. And it's like, sometimes you got to kill people because they're disrupting. And it's like, all right, I don't know.
I mean, it seems like, well, if you have to kill them sometimes when they're disruptive, like that's not favorable. And like, what they were doing was worse than killing them, but that's got to say, like, but the world didn't. That doesn't change the fact that the world didn't fall apart.
Yeah, and that's part of what I'm getting at is, but like, I don't think they fully justified this. We're scared that a person killing themselves will ruin everything.
All I can think is that it's, and I think there might have been a side reference to it is that if Qs know they can kill themselves, then it'll start becoming an epidemic of Qs killing themselves. But they didn't really dive too deep, and if they even addressed that, I feel like it was a side glance
I didn't even think about that. They didn't really even go that deep, but that's what happens with humans. There's a suicide and there's repeat suicides.
And that's a sociological phenomenon. And I guess once they know it's,
we're like Jonestown.
Once they know it's possible and it's someone does it and like the first person does it, then other people know, oh, it's possible.
Well,
and so they're afraid they'll all start.
So that does bring up the tricky question, for which I don't think there are super easy answers. Certainly when you research the topic, but it is, what is the threshold, right? Because probably many people would agree, not everyone, but many people would agree that there's some threshold where this person is justified in wanting to end their life, but you have to account for potential other things. Like, for example, if someone is suffering from a bout of depression or a bout of psychosis, something along those lines where they're not necessarily thinking the way they normally do, it's not, you would necessarily favor them being, you know, being permitted to commit suicide in that state of mind. On the other hand,
because it's all in your mind.
Yeah, but on the other hand, it's like, who makes the diagnosis? How are these things figured out? Whatever. They didn't really touch on that in this because this is such a sci-fi version. They're not really wrestling with the true difficult question about things like assisted suicide or just the sort of the moral and legal.
Suicide is always more acceptable when you have like some sort of physical issue.
Precisely.
Not, as opposed to a mental
issue. And they touched a little bit on that, but again, because they were talking about immortal beings, they were asking a different question.
Well, I think they successfully, though, approached the topic we discussed, where they were explaining what like it means to be immortal and how boring it is.
I agree.
And,
yeah. And, I agree. And yeah. I thought that was really cool.
And
the whole desert vibe was very Lynchian and very neat.
And this line.
Oh, we've all done the scarecrow. Yeah.
That
kind
of like that kind of like drives it home. Yeah. How the idea of how boring it really is. I'm so bored. Right. I'm going to be a scarecrow.
Or
like,
the dog.
Or it would be more interesting to be the dog. But like
maybe.
But like the scarecrow, you're just like. Like just sitting there waiting to get pecked at, and it's so. They,
well, that's
that could be fun.
That's so, like mortals.
So no, but it was a philosophical idea of looking at like what you said, like we were talking about earlier about like it's not they're not superior. There's a different angle to like exactly, their powers, and there's a downside. And I thought that was that's kind of what they explored this episode. I thought this episode was pretty interesting. It was also interesting because it was a courtroom episode, but it was a short courtroom, and it wasn't you can think of courtroom episodes. They're not bottle episodes, but they are kind of limited in budget. But it seems like this had a reasonable budget.
They had those protons.
Nice military
proton special effects.
They had those awesome protons.
We're being attacked by protons.
But like you know, they went through the you know they went out and had the pinball machine and all that shit, and then the weird fucking trippy chase through time and space.
So I think the plot of this episode, as well as the plots of the other two Q episodes in Voyager, they're different than the TNG episodes, and I think there's one major factor that makes them different, right? So. On Voyager, in this episode, it's all about analyzing the idea of the right to die due to immortality.
You said doo-doo.
Malaise, yes.
You said doo-doo.
But it's
but it's a sci-fi thing. We're looking at the Q and we're asking a question that really applies to the Q. It's not something that would directly apply to humanity. You might be able to draw some lessons from it, but it's really more on that sci-fi side of it. It's like, this is an interesting thing, right? And then in the Q Civil War, it's a similar deal where it's like, what does a civil war between omnipotent beings, what does that look like? What is the resolution to that? And then with the Q having a son, you know, that episode in the Q2, Q having a progeny, that's, again, yet another way to look at the Q and look at a sort of a sci-fi thing about what does it mean for two omnipotent beings to produce another omnipotent being. Whereas in TNG, all the Q shenanigans were about examining something more directly related to the human condition, right? And it's just a minor difference. It's not one's better than the other. It's just Voyager tended to be a little bit more on the sci-fi side of things. It was like, let's kind of push things to like a different philosophical level, but it's also, it can be interesting and entertaining, but it's also sometimes like a little bit further removed from everyday human experience as compared to say TNG or TOS, where a lot of times the sci-fi was more about like creating scenarios for the humans to react in some interesting way.
Well, there's also, as you've pointed out, there's more techno babble in Voyager.
Yes, so a lot more techno.
That means it's more sci-fi.
Well, this could go on for a millennium or two, I suppose.
I like that idea that they could like, just keep like going this like cat and mouse game like through time and space for a millennium.
And the Voyager, the crew just slowly grows old and dies.
And see, that's why I don't buy that.
No, they live forever.
That's why I don't buy that Quinn wouldn't just live out the rest of his 50 years as a human. If they can go through a high-speed chase through like all of eternity for like millennia, what's 50 fucking years?
Yeah.
And
you think he's got 50?
Well, it's.
I mean, he's a Q, so who knows?
It is the idea that.
It is the future, too. Remember, they probably live longer in the future.
Yeah, you're right. He's probably got about 70.
But they have to end the episode with everything reset. You know, it's like as simple as that. And sometimes it's so obvious that, you know, it does take you out a little bit, but only a little bit, right? Because it's like, what are you going to do? We back in the mid-90s, they weren't going to be like, oh yeah, let's just have this guest actor on for like a couple weeks.
And
then eventually he's like, I will kill myself because I ate all of Neelix's food, or I'm creeped out that Neelix is creeping on that 2-year-old girl.
What is a rabbit anyway?
It's a good question.
Because it's not like a TNG episode or some other Star Trek episode where they could just transfer him to another ship.
Yeah.
Although they could have had a plot where he like ran off with some other alien somewhere.
Maybe he's like, hey, these Kazon people. They're wild.
Yeah. Why not?
He got some wild hair.
I'm going to run with the Kazon.
Run with the Kazon.
Far out.
I am far queen out of the Kazon.
Yes. Yes.
It
yes,
was interesting yes, that yes. That I guess is that, that I guess that story is there any truth to that Woodstock story or is that just a totally manufactured?
I don't know about anything about that.
It sounded like it was totally manufactured.
It sounds a little scary.
It was just funny because they had like Riker and then they had Newton and then there was like oh and like a random hippie fella.
I see. I think dude. I feel like it would be unlikely that a concert could get canceled because one of the sound cables was unplugged. Yes. Like they got a lockdown on that shit.
There was.
Yeah. I mean, I believe that one could become unplugged, but I don't think it would be that difficult to find it.
But
I don't know. I've never put on a major fucking festival.
Woodstock was organized by like a bunch of hippies, but they knew what they were doing.
Yeah.
Like they all had it, made it happen. Like
you know. Exactly. I'll be the judge of that.
So you know, it seems like such a minor thing. When, it's like, oh, this isn't plugged in over here. It's like, well, they're going to find that eventually. It's like, that's not going to disable the whole fucking festival.
When, on did you remember this line?
I'll be the judge of that.
That was after, yes, after Q.
You've played it a few times.
I'm giving you context. Oh, okay. After Q says, we've agreed on a format for this little... They're talking about going to the Q Continuum. Mm-hmm. And he says, we've agreed on a format for this little sojourn, but I still believe it's ill-advised. And Janeway says...
I'll be the judge of that.
You know why that's funny? Because she's the judge of that hearing.
Mm-hmm.
I know, right?
I hadn't gotten that joke. It's a good joke.
It's a good joke.
It's a very good joke.
Continuity.
Continuity?
No, is it continuity?
Suicide.
It's neither in this case. No, it's just a clever joke.
Does Q live in the continuum?
Oh, the continuum?
The continuum.
Like, no, like continue.
Continuity.
Continuum.
No, he lives in the continuum.
So do you understand why I think it's like, even though I respect and accept continuity and occasionally say it, of my own volition, you can understand why Volition. I think it's the thing that sounds weird because you have the word continue, you have the word continuum.
There's like a
yeah,
couple
I know,
of
but
years.
Continuity. But like I said, you don't say photography.
I don't say anything.
Nobody does.
No, photography. I don't say anything.
You say photograph. You yeah. don't. So you would say photography.
Or
it's the
or
same fucking
photography
logic.
Or fata. Fata.
No, you're changing fata. The subject because you know I got you
I
dead.
No, I didn't change the subject.
I got you dead to rights on this one.
No,
you're talking about dead to
no,
rights.
No. Listen,
what are you
to me.
Even talking about?
Listen, no, wait.
Okay,
listen.
Right. I got it. You got me dead to rights.
Wait, no, listen.
All right, I'm listening.
Continue is to continue. I can't even fucking say it. Continue uh-huh. is to continuity as photograph is to photography.
What oh, the man. Hell is going on?
Right. Oh yes,
and well, that about does it.
Well, what we can, I think, what we can stipulate, we can all stipulate to the fact that various points were made.
I like,
and
this
that's it.
Things were said.
What do you guys feel in the world of Voyager episodes? I think this is one of the better Voyager episodes.
Yeah,
it's a bit more, it's entertaining, I thought.
I agree.
I really liked Quinn, the character of Quinn.
The acting is good.
I enjoyed watching it.
It is
Woodstock. They're afraid of the unknown.
Minor little quibbles aside, it's interesting.
It's another like big decision for Janeway. She makes this like this big decision, like because
I have a condition of my own.
And
he was
honestly,
all being seductive with his, like, I'll get you back
own.
To Earth.
The thing is like, yeah, there's some own. Stuff they bring up that they own. Don't necessarily investigate, but it's also like, you can just think of it on your own. It's still evocative, yeah. right? It still makes you think about interesting things and wrestle with some difficult questions.
This was a thoughtful statement that actually kind of came out awkward and a little bit weird, but like, I think I know what they were going for.
I dearly thank you. For making this film.
Oh, wait, that's not the right line, shit.
Nah.
That's when he's dying.
I was like, what the fuck are you doing?
I thought you were doing a bit.
No, I'm sorry.
For making this film.
No, this is the same. Isn't that the same one?
This is the line. This is
playing the wrong thing.
This is the line. This is the line where I
the line must be drawn here, no further.
They were going for something, and it came off a little awkward. I feel, but I feel like I appreciate what they're going for.
You surprise me, Mr. Tuvok, which is a rare and special gift to a Q. Thank you.
Like, it's very obvious they were going for, like, a whole, like, you know, surprise.
It was subtle.
But, like,
it.
It's another thing about Q, like, you know.
They're afraid of the unknown.
Along those lines, a Q would not be surprised because there is no unknown. But it came off as, like, kind of an awkwardly delivered line. Yeah. Something about it was a little clumsy.
Well, it's like the psychic who had her house knocked down by a tornado.
Are you about to? Is it another suicide joke?
No, no, nobody committed suicide. It was just the psychic didn't know it was going to happen.
It's a joke about psychics.
Woodstock. I have a condition of my own. Woodstock.
Okay, so yeah, good episode. Great episode, actually. Real fun one.
Not just good, but
great. Not but cool, but great.
And before we close out, I do want to comment that it's another great Tuvok episode.
Tuvok's my favorite Vulcan.
I love Tuvok. Hey, Tuvok is the best Vulcan. Yeah. Tim Russ is the best at portraying Vulcan. Tuvok is just excellent. Like, oh, you get all sorts of Vulcan goodiness.
Thank you.
Yes, you're very welcome, Tuvok.
Tim Russ has some kind of rock band that he's in.
Yeah, he's a rocking dude.
Yeah.
I like when Tuvok goes, when Quinn appears and he goes like, I'm curious, have the Q always had an absence of manners? Yeah, yeah. Or is it the result of some natural evolutionary process that comes with omnipotence? Yeah. And that was basically Tuvok's way of telling me he's a piece of shit.
Yeah, he's like, you're a piece of shit.
Yeah.
That is all.
So that does it for us for this episode. Next week,
Tuvok doesn't play
around. We will find out what we will be playing next week. We've got to put this week's episode, run it through Dan's algorithm.
The guy in the Jeep.
And after it goes through Dan's algorithm, it'll produce a list of episodes for us to watch. I do believe we are due a TOS episode. That means the original series. You can check out our social media to determine what we're going to be watching next week at It's Got Star Trek on all the various social medias.
You can go to our
website, www.itsgotstartrek.com.
Magnetodynamic forces.
And again, if you'd like to write an email to us or send us a MP3 or something, that's at feedback@itsgotstartrek.com.
You want to bring people here from Earth?
You can also record a voice message to us.
There are no stars outside.
By going to www.itsgotstartrek.com/record. We're also on YouTube, Facebook, all that other stuff. Patreon.com/itsgotstartrek. Definitely go sign up. Even if you don't want to pay money, sign up. Here's some of the previews. There's some free content up there as well, so go check it out. You will
be the guy in the Jeep.
Bunch of jam haters.
Okay, all right. That's enough of that.
That's enough silliness.
That's enough for this week, and we'll have more stupidity next week. Have a good one. We'll talk to you then.
Very well.
Auf Wiedersehen. Goodbye.
We will meet again.
Bye-bye.
Without Q, there would have been no concert at,
Woodstock.
Wherever. More importantly, Mr. Ginsburg would never have met his future wife, the groovy chick with the long red beads, and he would never have become a successful orthodontist, settled in Scarsdale with four kids.
Far out.
Yes.